Welcome to Behind the Headlines, where we're about to take you right across the UK looking at some of the news stories we've been covering. We're going to be speaking to people who've been battered by Storm Bert.
Sadly, we've lost about 90% of the stuff. It will be the end for us.
And a police in Scotland becoming babysitters.
What age are you? Oh. What age are you?
12.
Aye, you're coming home with us.
My name's Louise Easton. I'm going to be your host over the next 10 minutes or so on Monday, the 25th of November, 2024. Storm Bert has caused another day of widespread disruption across the UK. The second named storm of the season, which brought rain, snow and 70 mile per hour winds across the UK this weekend, is continuing to wreak havoc. We'll try and paint you a picture of the problems it's been causing across the country through our reporters. First, we're going to start in South Wales, where widespread disruption has been caused. Our reporter George Simmons has sent us this report from Pontypridd.
Well, when I arrived, it was clear the devastating effects this flood has had on the town.
It was quite harrowing.
Devastating for the people living right by the river.
4 years ago, it was 7 foot underwater. This time, it's only been a few inches.
People in the area will now be faced with a big cleanup as they try to get rid of this huge amount of mud, one of which was Paula, who says that whilst they were better prepared compared to the flood that happened in 2020, there was still expensive damage.
We think we've lost one car. The other car, it seems to be okay at the moment. Yes, we have the flood defences in place, but they don't work as they're meant to.
National Resource Wales and the Met Office say they're going to review what has happened, but the Welsh Government have said they will offer support to those in need. But they also reinstated that the flood defences have played a role in protecting many homes and businesses.
Well, next we're going to head to Bristol, where our chief reporter there, James Diamond, can illustrate the problems they've been having.
Well, with the sun shining this morning, the worst of this is hopefully past. But even so, there's a footpath here between two houses, which looks like a river. Water is absolutely streaming down it, which you might be able to hear. Just listen to this. Angela lives just round the corner.
The cars in her road were actually floating. People were wading up to their thighs in water, and it just came so quickly out of nowhere.
And is this area known for anything like this ever having happened before?
No, never. I've lived here for most of my life, and I've never ever known it flood like this.
A few feet away, several residents are sweeping up debris that's been left and putting it into a wheelbarrow to take away.
Well, in Northern Ireland, Stormont politicians have been hearing how some families are now living in fear of their homes being flooded every time it rains. Dundonald and Colisland were among areas badly hit by Storm Bert over the weekend. Mid Ulster MLA Linda Dillon says one family have been through a particularly traumatic time.
My thoughts are particularly with a family who had to remove the remains of their mother from her home, which was a very traumatic experience for that family. And they're burying her this morning, so I just want to say that my thoughts are with that family. But the dignity with which the services carried out their work and helped the family to remove those remains is very much appreciated by the family.
Back to England now, where a major incident has been declared in Northamptonshire, where widespread flooding has caused the Billing Aquadrome to be evacuated. That includes the caravan park there, which has only just recently recovered from previous floods. The Environment Agency's Area Director for Northamptonshire, Lee Edlin, told us it's devastating for people there and has some words of advice.
I believe that this is the fourth time they've had to evacuate in the last 12 months. So that's that disruption to people's lives yet again. And it just shows how, you know, the weather patterns that we're seeing, you can see this across the country, are just so, so significant. People need to make sure they're signed up to the free flood warning service on roads. It's really important to steer clear of that standing water. Just 30 centimetres of water is enough to float a car.
And if we go west now to Tenbury Wells, we have our reporter Elliot Burrow there. The Kyre Brook has burst its bank and caused roads to fill like a river, which has in turn left homes and businesses devastated. Elliot joins me now. Elliot, what's the latest there?
Water has been gushing down the brook here all day. Market Street, where I'm stood now in my wellies, is clear from the flood water, which was here on it yesterday, but it's still being closed to traffic like quite a few other roads throughout the Worcestershire and Herefordshire area.
And the clean-up operation then, that's been taking place throughout the day, hasn't it?
Yes, business owners arrived here early this morning to sweep and pump out the remaining water that was inside, along with taking out anything which had been damaged. Laura Jones runs the Rainbow Craft Shop and she says it's had a devastating impact.
It's a very sad day for all of us, to be quite honest, but I just cannot afford to come back from this.
The wall, which did collapse yesterday, was also removed. Fire crews and highways maintenance teams have been washing down the pavements and roads from the mud that had covered them. But this is something that is going to take a bit longer yet before things return to as they were.
OK, thanks, Elliot. Well, as we speak, there are nearly 300 flood warnings and alerts still in place across the UK. Still to come on Behind the Headlines, we're hearing from a woman who was spiked as the Prime Minister meets with police and hospitality bosses in Downing Street to discuss the issue. But first, we're told the injuries sustained by a little girl and a man who was shot in West London are not life-threatening. They were hurt last night in Ladbroke Grove. A toddler and a woman who were in the same vehicle were not hurt. Our reporter Claire Bode has been speaking to police at the scene.
Well, we now know that at 5:30 last night, a 34-year-old man and an 8-year-old girl were shot whilst they sat in a car here on Southern Row. Since then, police say they have arrested a 22-year-old man on suspicion of attempted murder. Superintendent Owen Rinaldin thanked the local community for their help yesterday.
Both injured parties were taken to hospital, where they currently remain in a serious but stable condition.
Well, this road is in a residential area and locals, including Rico, told us they're worried they're seeing more and more violence.
You know, the first, reaction I had when I saw this is like, again, it's strange. It's a bit surreal. You know, you see it once, but not 3-4 times a year.
Police are continuing to ask for anyone with information to come forward to help them with their investigation.
And Claire joins me now. Claire, you've been in Ladbroke Grove all day speaking to people. We heard there from one man, but what has the general reaction been to this?
Well, the reality here is many locals are just shocked and horrified at what has happened, especially given the age of the youngest victim, just 8 years old. Locals also say this area is just becoming more and more unsafe. And back in July, less than a 5-minute walk from here, a 15-year-old boy was shot dead in a park. Yesterday's evidence showing that gun violence is continuing to be a growing issue across the capital.
And what's it like in the area there now?
Investigations are still in their early stages, so a large visible police presence does remain on the scene, and from where I'm stood I can see at least 10 police officers, and a large cordon also remains in place blocking off several entrances to Southern Row, and it's currently unclear when this cordon will lift.
Okay, thanks, Claire. Next tonight, we're looking at the impact a baby can have on a woman, specifically their mental health. Exclusive figures we've been given show the number of people seeking help in Leeds has risen by a quarter over 4 years. Our reporter in the city, Becky Lomas, has been speaking to some mums who've struggled.
Having a baby is often thought of as being one of the happiest times of your life. Scrolling Instagram, you're probably used to seeing loads of smiley pictures with captions talking about those amazing but very tiring newborn days. But what if that isn't what you're feeling?
My daughter, she looked like a plastic doll to me and I didn't think she was real.
I remember going to bed every night hoping that either I or her didn't wake up.
That's Bronwyn and Jess. They started to develop severe mental health problems after the births of their babies. Well, they both spent time at the mother and baby unit in the Mounts in Leeds, a specialist place where women from across Yorkshire and the Humber can be treated while still caring for their baby.
I couldn't understand language or taking what people were saying, so people would talk to me and I was like, but it just sounded, for the first time ever, I thought, oh, that's like people speaking in tongues. And if people were talking to me, it kind of like bounced off my head, so I couldn't take in any information, didn't know what they were saying to me. I couldn't really speak or form sentences.
It got to a point where I just wanted her nowhere near me. I wanted to sort of run out of the house and never come back.
And Bronwyn and Jess are far from alone. Figures we've had through from the Leeds and York NHS Trust reveal the number of women seeking help for a perinatal mental health issue has risen by a quarter in the space of 4 years, with more than 900 coming forward last year. Deborah Page is the lead mental health nurse at the Mount in Leeds, where mums who become severely poorly are sectioned with the babies. She says we need to treat our mental health as we would our physical.
You know, this is not about you being a bad person or a bad mother. This is about your health, and it's as important in pregnancy and after you've had a baby, your mental health and your emotional health, just as important as your physical health. Mm. Just equally important. So whether it's after you've had a baby or in pregnancy.
You can find out how you can access help over on our website.
And following on from that report, Becky joins me now. Becky, how long have you been looking into this as an issue, and have you noticed any reoccurring themes? So I've been looking into this issue for probably about a year, but I've always had quite an invested interest in it. And something that I would say that I have really noticed, actually, is mums being too nervous to say that they are struggling. The amount of people that I've spoken to that said they were worried that their children might get taken away, especially their babies, if they admitted that their mental health was bad. But something to reiterate that I've learned along the way is that really isn't the case, and it couldn't be further from it. There really is a lot of help out there that people aren't that aware of.
Is there anything that you found as part of this investigation that's surprised you?
The things I think that surprised me is the amount of help that is there if people need it. It really is sort of just a phone call away. But also the amount of people that actually said, you know what, yeah, I really struggled. And people that you might not have noticed that were struggling at the time that probably hid it quite well were really, you know, feeling the effects of their mental health after they had a baby.
And what kind of feedback have you had so far?
The feedback so far is quite a bit of relief from other mums, to be honest, who sort of say, you know, normalising this and talking about it more has just been so helpful for them, and just bringing the issue out into the open and normalising it. Also, you know, the health professionals are really keen to let people know what help is out there and how people can essentially get better and live such a full and happy life.
Still to come, we've been out on patrol with police in Scotland who tell us naughty children are pulling them away from dealing with serious crime.
Taking the wet floor signs, throwing them over, and then shouted F the police at us. No good, mate.
But back in England and Wales, we're looking at the issue of drink spiking. So Keir Starmer is reiterating plans for it to become a specific offence, with a pilot due to begin in the coming weeks. The Prime Minister's been meeting police and hospitality bosses in Downing Street this morning. Our reporter Alice Smith joins me now. Alice, can you explain what's involved in this plan?
Yeah, so this is all part of government action to try and halve levels of violence against women and girls. Thousands of people who work in the nighttime economy will be trained to prevent spiking and recognise and respond quickly when incidents do happen. As you mentioned, government's keen for the initiative to be shared between local police forces, hotel, bar and restaurant managers and transport companies. I spoke to the Home Office Minister Jess Phillips earlier, who told me more about the plans.
To make sure that they can spot the signs of perpetrator behaviour, help to prevent it, help to gather evidence so that charges can be taken under the new law, and also to ensure that victims are supported.
The reason they've chosen people in these jobs is because pubs and clubs are the most likely places for spiking to happen.
And am I right in thinking it won't just be those working behind the bar who are going to get this training?
Yes, that's right, and it's something Miss Phillips spoke to me about. She told me they're also going to provide training for people who work front of house, like bouncers and hosts.
By the time of 2028, nearly 350,000 door staff and bouncers will have been trained in this, because it has become a mandatory part of their training.
Miss Phillips did acknowledge to me this is just the start of government's action on stopping violence against women and girls, and further plans are in the pipeline. But for now, we'll be following closely to see whether this new initiative has the positive impact the government hopes.
Thanks, Alice. Well, student Soraya Haddad was spiked whilst at uni. Our Birmingham reporter Amelia Summons has been speaking to her about these plans.
What's your reaction to this news?
So I think it's really positive news. I think it's a great step forward. My concern is that we currently still do not have a protocol in place for hospitals to take urine samples. A lot of these drugs are out of your body in about 12, 13 hours. The day after I was spiked, I did go to the hospital and they basically turned me away and just said, well, you don't seem to be under the influence of anything right now, and you know, there's nothing we can do. And they said you could report it to the police, but by now the drugs are probably out of your system, so there's no point. So I was very discouraged from doing that. So I think, yeah, until we tackle that, I don't know how we're going to actually boost getting those convictions.
Do you feel that your situation would have been handled differently had bar staff had to have been trained on dealing with people who have been spiked?
Yeah, I'm certainly hopeful that it would have been different, that if they'd realised, they could have immediately said something's wrong here, taken me to a hospital, because it is very different to someone being drunk. That there's similarities, but if you know what spiking looks like, you can immediately tell that it is not the same.
We're hearing how officers patrolling Glasgow's streets are having to babysit antisocial youths instead of tackling crime. We exclusively joined Police Scotland on a foot patrol of the city centre and saw officers spend hours escorting children home. Our Glasgow reporter Alice Faulkner sent us this report.
You might think that a weekend shift in Glasgow would be full of exchanges like this.
Is this where you're sleeping now? See, now I hope there's no vodka in that bottle.
Or like this.
It's illegal to drink on the street in Glasgow. I want to give you a ticket, right? But I will take it away, right?
But in fact, officers like PC Sean McFadden are having to spend hours escorting antisocial youths home instead of tackling crime. We were made aware of a 12-year-old boy who was causing trouble in shops close to midnight.
Yep, the kids are now sprinting away.
Right. What age are you? Oh. What age are you?
12.
Aye, they're coming home with us.
What?
It's no good, mate.
I know it's
no good. You can't be doing this. It's far too late for you to be out in the city centre on your own anyway.
They've now been spoken to. I can see them at the moment. They've got him by the wrists so to make sure he doesn't run away again. It is just antisocial behaviour that these cops come across, you know, each night that they're on patrol here.
And finally, we've been speaking to Bob Geldof about bringing back Band-Aid. The 40th anniversary of Do They Know It's Christmas blends together 40 years of the song. Our reporter Liam Arrowsmith has more on this one.
It's a song that's helped define Christmas for four decades.
It's Christmas time.
And now Sir Bob Geldof's bringing different generations of Band-Aid together for its 40th anniversary.
But say a prayer.
It means artists like George Michael and Harry Styles can duet, Chris Martin can sing alongside the Sugar Babes, and a young Bono can meet an older Bono. So Bob tells us about the moment the idea came to him.
How do you celebrate what this country did with its greatest artists? Put them on the same track. And I called Trevor Horn. I said, is that possible, just taking these already recorded people? Look, what he's done, it's extraordinary technologically, but the arrangement of this too well-known song is so beautiful.
Today, Band-Aid's raised $150 million for famine relief, with Sir Bob claiming it's helped keep millions of people alive. He tells us he never expected it to have such a wide-ranging impact.
I didn't expect the British public to suddenly go, we're with you on this. This little song went from being a number one Christmas single to dozens of other countries copying it, which led to the two concerts, Live Aid, Live Aid.
Band-Aid, The Ultimate Mix, is out now.
For more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels, and be sure to come back again tomorrow when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.